Did I leave it back there today, Mark? I did, didn't I? Sometimes, I always set my Bible up there while I'm getting mic'd up. And sometimes he catches me. And today, we both missed it. This season of Thanksgiving is going to allow us to have a couple of extra Thanksgiving messages. And last week we began with some things, and today my message title is simply this: All I Have is More Than Enough. All I have is more than enough. And I'm going to say this as I begin. I know that for some people it's a lot easier to say that than it is for other people. Because a lot of times we're wondering what the next thing that we know that we need and where it's going to come from. We oftentimes, especially when resources seem a little slim, we can spend time worrying about where things are going to come from and how we're going to be able to manage the next day and the next week and the next month and even survive the winter in many cases. I look around me and every one of us has a degree of concern for those who live homelessly and have, in many cases, absolutely no option to do anything else in this moment of their life. And, if we were to sit in a room and just talk about homelessness today, there'd be a lot of opinions expressed. There really would. But the truth for homeless folks is that they definitely are struggling to know where their next meal is coming from, how they're going to stay warm tonight. In these next few days, we're going to see some sub-freezing temperatures, not sub-zero, but some sub-freezing temperatures. And we already saw snow last night. Really? Of course, it's the middle of November. And it's Spokane. And here we are, and we recognize. But all of us, no matter who we are, some maybe perhaps living quite comfortably, but clamoring for more, have a great need to come to the conclusion of this sermon title, All I Have is More Than Enough. And so hopefully the two stories we're going to look at, I looked at three stories last week from the book of Luke, as those who came back and expressed their gratitude to the Lord Jesus. But today we're going to look at two stories as we see some things happening in the lives of one in particular and then the masses in addition. And so we're going to be looking at that today. But today, can you honestly say, all I have is more than enough? Some of us are at a place where we know that we have more than enough and we want to get rid of some things, right? And we have to work hard to do that because some of those things are hard even to part with when we know that we want to scale down and indeed get rid of some things. But is all that you have more than enough for you? I think we probably each one could say that. Even though we're in the process of growing and walking through and knowing that we need that monthly income just to take care of needs. Well, in Mark chapter 12, there is a story that I think we want to just take a particular interest in the heart of this woman, this widow lady, who was there. But we also want to recognize some of the others that were around in the temple and the attitude that Jesus pointed out about them as they moved through this day of worship. And so in Mark chapter 12, beginning, actually I want to read in verse 38 on through the end of that chapter. And here it'll say, he also said in his teaching, beware of the scribes who want to go around in long robes and who want greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at banquets, They devour widows' houses and say long prayers just for show. These will receive harsher judgment. Now, I know we didn't have those words up for you, but there's a couple of things in that that are very important for what we're doing today. And I want us to particularly hear that last verse that says, they devour widows' houses and say long prayers just for show. These will receive harsher judgments. And then in verse 41, sitting across from the temple treasury, he watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. Summoning his disciples, he said to them, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. For they all gave out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Would you pray with me as we move into this time of considering God's word? Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of people. We thank you for those who give generously, often in sacrifice, and those who give out of even their great need, even to the amount of all they have. Lord, today we come to you and we ask that you will help to drive in this thought and this attitude into our hearts and our minds so that every day we can awaken and say, all that I have is more than enough. I need nothing else. Maybe not sure how I'm going to pay that bill. Maybe not sure how I'm going to purchase this needed item. But God, all I have is more than enough. Lord, help us to move through this time and away from this time with a deep sense of gratitude that there will never be a day that we will not have what we need. Even if there is difficulty, you are our provider and you are good. We trust you and we give thanks today. In the name of Jesus, help us to grow. Amen. So I wanted just to look at this first group, the rich ones, because I think it's so important that we understand that the character that was present in the hearts and the attitudes of those who were obviously rich when they came into the temple and when they came into the time of worship. They were happy to express the giving of their offerings. And even so often, they made a big show of it. And as we think about that today, I want us to recognize that as the widow came and gave her offering, she probably very humbly walked quietly, perhaps along the wall, hoping that no one would notice. Perhaps she followed in the shadow of someone else who was much greater, at least in their appearance and in all of those things. But most of all, she came very humbly and she offered her offering of all she had with gratitude and indeed with a heart of trust in the Lord. So for the rich, though, I want us to think and just recognize that for them, there didn't seem to be sacrifice, at least in the way that the Lord Jesus told this story. It didn't seem that there would be any sacrifice in that part. He said, beware of them. But he said, many rich were putting in large sums. And in most cases, they would do so with a show of some sort. If we understand that whole context, those who were able, those who were wealthy, those who had power, those who had much perhaps that they could give, if they only would understand the sacrifice and the humility and the need for compassion in the lives of people around them. But For the rich, honestly, as we read it in this story, you really can't see very much sacrifice. Now, I love that rich people often desire to be generous, so please don't misunderstand that. Oftentimes, rich, and if, as you hear about it across those who were the wealthiest people in the United States, most of the time their names get to be known. And you, just thinking about it right now, could think of a number of people in our world today that are quite wealthy. And in many cases, they are quite generous because of their wealth. They have much to give. And so they recognize that probably the best thing they can do is give. Of course, they discover there's a great tax write-off too, right? But at the same time, often it will come out of generosity. So let's not completely defame them, all right? But you can think of a number of those who are quite wealthy today. You would think of names from this generation, from your parents' generation, and perhaps some of the generations before, all the way back to, for example, the Rockefellers. But we see in today's world where the rich can be very generous, and they demonstrate that generosity by giving and showing that. So, and yet there probably is no real personal sacrifice to it. Say, well, I got this much money in my account. I'll just give it here and I'll give it there, and wherever I feel the need, I'll give it. And oftentimes that may come out of compassion. It may come out of recognizing need, but there's no real sacrifice. For them in their giving, there is no great difficulty. There's no great expression of faith or needing to be trusting in God. And you know, I just think perhaps for the rich, there is no real wonder in their giving. For the one who is poor, they may give all that they have and have nothing left, and they are wondering how they will make it tomorrow. But let me say, even for the one who puts their trust in God and puts their faith in the Lord Jesus and recognizes that all they have is really from somewhere else anyway, they will come to a place where they recognize and understand that every day is going to be filled with wonder, because they're going to be looking to see how God will bring blessing, how God will provide, where will their sustaining needs be met? How will that come? And I just don't think that could be true for the rich. They don't live that way. They don't live with wonder. Now, they might be awed by how people are so grateful when they receive something from the hand of the rich. They might have some wonder about that. They might be awed by that. But there's no real wonder in the giving for those who are rich. But for the poor widow, when it says that she gave all that she had to live on, we have to say and we have to recognize and know that her giving was a testament to her faith. It was a testament to wonder about, okay, here I freely, happily, willingly give all that I have. Humbly, quietly, here I have given. Now what? Now what? How will I eat? How will I cover my head? How will I be provided for? And if a person is truly walking by faith, in this particular case, I know that many of us have never, it's never been called upon us to give everything we had. But what would that look like? What would that look like? I think many of us, it might be like the rich young man who came to Jesus and Jesus said, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then come and follow me. We might have the same difficulty that man did, for the scripture says that he walked away very sad because he was very rich and he didn't know how to give it up. All that he had certainly was way more than enough, and yet he could not even imagine releasing it and giving it away. But the poor widow had this wonder of, where in the world will my sustenance come from? How will I eat? Where will I sleep? Where will I be cared for? And perhaps, I'm guessing that she had a home. I mean, it doesn't say that she was completely homeless. But she gave to the Lord everything that she had. So it not only was a testament to her own faith, her trust in God, a testament to her own wonder of, okay, this is going to be fun to see. To me, the word wonder is that. I mean, we talk about wonder and we say, well, I wonder how that's going to happen. That's maybe a statement of doubt. But the kind of wonder that she had was a wonder of faith. It was a wonder that demonstrated that indeed she trusted in God and was living in wonder at how her needs would be met. Have you ever had to live like that? In some cases, I mean, young married couples sometimes are struggling. They don't even know how they're going to pay the rent. They don't know how they're going to get the light bill covered. They don't know. Many of us were in those categories when we were young. And we did our very best to establish budgets and to be careful with the resources that we had. And we lived sometimes in wonder. And I know that many people who walk by faith today live in wonder at what God will do next, how He will provide. Where those dollars come from is sometimes an amazing and miraculous thing. For we've heard stories perhaps of people who have been walking by faith and have trusted in God and something comes to the door and provides for their household. Someone comes and gives a gift or an offering to them and they are cared for. And they live in wonder of those things. For indeed, that very gift itself produces a wonder at the magnificence and the understanding and the attentive care that God gives to His children. And so her life and her giving was a testament to that wonder and a testament also to God's faithfulness. To God's faithfulness. How does anyone come to the place where they're able to take all that they have and give it away? How is anyone able to do that? How do we come to that place? Certainly it comes from walking by faith over a period of time, but ultimately it comes after we have, for the very first time, been willing to give obediently and to give all that we have. Today, friends, we recognize that in this widow's life, this poor widow's life. And we also know that she gave because of her own trust in God that there would be enough. There would be enough, and certainly her own thankful heart. Do you suppose that she dropped that in there without recognizing that God had already met her needs for all of her life, throughout all of the experience of her life? Do you suppose that she dropped that money in and had difficulty in that? No. She gave out of a thankful heart because she knew that God was her provider and she was grateful for everything that He had done and given to her over all of the days of her life. Well, she found out that all that she had was more than enough. Now, that might be enough for us, but we're going to look at one more story today. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew in chapter 14. We're going to read here from verses 13 to 21. Matthew 14, 13 to 21. Here's the story that follows after many people who had come and been following after Jesus. And so let's read these verses and then see what God would say to us. In verse 13 it says, when Jesus heard about it, He withdrew from there by boat. This was just following the execution of John the Baptist. And so when Jesus heard about it, He withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. And when the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them and healed their sick. When evening came, the disciples approached him and said, "This place is deserted and it's already late. Send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." "They don't need to go away," Jesus told them. "You give them something to eat." "But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here." And they said to him, "Bring them here to me," he said. Then he commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate and was satisfied, and they picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Now those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Wow. All they had was more than enough. Isn't that just an amazing story? The disciples said to Jesus, "But all we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all that's here." I don't know how carefully they had gone through the crowd, but I'm sure that they had spoken and had wondered, and perhaps it was just this 5 loaves and 2 fish that were brought to them from a child that allowed them to just simply say, "Jesus, this is it. How are we going to feed these masses of people?" Have you ever been in a crowd of 5,000 people? That's a lot of folks to think about trying to feed all of them. If you've been to a game in a stadium of 20 or more thousand, you know that at the breaks, at halftime and before and after, the concessions lines can be very long. And you have to wait and wait and wait. And then finally, you have to pay your excessive amount of money in order to buy a hot dog. You know, it's just the way of it. If you're going to go to games, you just accept that. You know, that's the way it's going to be. Because somehow you're supporting your team, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? But here they were in this place where there were masses of people around them. It wasn't a small group. And we would be overwhelmed to think what it would be to feed 5,000. Some of those who manage things like potlucks in the life of a church often will come to that moment 10 or 20 minutes before the potluck is supposed to happen, and they look at the table and they say, "Wow, we've got all these people. How are we really going to feed them?" But isn't it amazing that every time there seems to be enough food that shows up, there seems to be enough, and that's not even the miraculous. That's just from the faithfulness of people who are coming and bringing the food. Perhaps you've been in settings where you know that what was there was not enough, but it ended up being enough. But this was a very unique situation on the hillside where Jesus was teaching. And let's just look at this story a little bit deeper. This was a story that reveals some things about people. They were hungry. People were hungry. But what were they hungry for? When they heard that Jesus was going by boat and they kind of followed and ran along the shore to just kind of keep up and be able to meet him wherever it was he got out of the boat, sometimes that would have been miles and miles and miles. And when they were following along and seeking so that when they saw Jesus, they would be able to receive whatever it was that he was willing to offer, what were they hungry for? They weren't looking for food. If they were concerned about food, they would have brought food for their sustenance that day. They would have. If they were hungry for that type of thing, that's what they would have been prepared for. They didn't expect the kind of miracle that came when Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves and fed them all. They weren't expecting that, but they were hungry. Can you agree with me perhaps that they were hungry for everything? Their lives had not been easy. They had lived among, for generations, and had heard many, many stories, but had lived among folks who were very oppressive. They knew that their government was oppressive. They knew that there were people around them who would take, and the foreigners among them might steal from them. They knew that there was much that they needed, and they were folks who were very oppressed. And so what were they hungry for? Hungry for everything. And let's just break it down to these four things first. Basically, they were hungry for healing because many were sick. It says, it says that Jesus immediately as they came began to heal them because of what? He had compassion on them. And I would say this, that they were hungry also for compassion. That was not generally the way that they were treated. Perhaps they would receive compassion from family members, you know, mom, grandparents. They might have received compassion from siblings who were concerned that they had what they needed. And they weren't unfamiliar with the importance of compassion in life. But here we see that Jesus had compassion upon them, and he began to heal them. He healed their sick. Now, I don't know how many were sick among the 5,000 men plus women and children. I don't know how many were sick. I don't know how many were lame, how many were blind, how many were deaf, how many were mute, how many, who knows? We don't have any record of that, you know. Now, Matthew, being one who was a record keeper, tax collector and all, he might have written down, you know, every one. But that's probably why at the end of the writing of the Apostle John, it says that if everything were written down, not even the whole world could contain the books, right? And I think we don't have any way to know how many were sick, how many were needing healing of their eyes and sight and all of those. But we know that Jesus had compassion and they were hungry for that compassion. We know that they were hungry for good teaching, because wherever Jesus went, he spoke and he taught and he spoke of the kingdom of God, and he called people to repentance from sin, and he forgave their sins. Why? Because he was the Messiah. He was God. He had the authority to forgive their sins. And he was one who was busy about the work of teaching the truths of God. And that is the fourth thing that I'm suggesting that they were hungry for. They were hungry for truth. We live in a world today where people are growing up, children and their young adults are growing up and have grown up, being told that they can create their own truth however they would like. And we're seeing that it's been going on for a long time, people. And we're seeing that is being, they're challenging every natural thing in the world that is to us, perhaps, seemingly normal, and trying to say that I'll just decide who I'm going to be or what I'm going to be and all of those kinds of things. We are at a place where we recognize that they are struggling to understand what the truth is. And so they get to create their own truth, because everyone around them, at least in our culture, is suggesting that they should discover their own truth, create their own truth, write their own book, and let it be their own story. But my friends, people today are hungry for truth. Every opportunity I get, I'm going to speak the truth as I understand it from the Word of God. God has revealed truth. I'm not going to try to create truth out of my own head Because that would be just as bad as them trying to create their own truth, because that would be my own truth. But the truth that I want to bring and that I want to share is the truth that we find as God has revealed himself to us, that we might have an understanding of who he is, his character, his life, his expectations for you and for me. And therefore, we have his word. Everything from the law of Moses throughout the prophets and throughout the poetry that's there, and then the gospels and the stories and of the early church. And then, of course, the additional final biblical prophecy that we have from the book of the Revelation, pointing to the time of the end and the return of Christ. Friends, today, we have a truth that we need to share. But we need to be careful that we share the truth from the Word of God. And that truth all rests upon the character of who Jesus is. It rests upon the work that Jesus accomplished and what he has revealed to us throughout all of history as God. And we need to put our trust in that truth. And we need to allow the Word of God to speak into the challenges that we face in our world today. Seeking truth, understanding truth. People were hungry for truth. They were so hungry for the fundamental things of life that they weren't even concerned or aware, perhaps, of what they might need for their bodies or what might present itself as a need while they were there that the hand of the Messiah could provide. Well, there was nothing the disciples could do. But who were they disciples of, and who were they with, and who were they following? They were following Jesus. And I think ultimately, to answer that question of what they were hungry for, is that they were hungry for Jesus. And they were hungry for the Messiah. Throughout all of their lives and from generations past, they had been taught about the coming of a Messiah. And as we read the story, we have it so clearly presented to us in the gospel. But here they were catching bits and pieces because Jesus was walking from town to town, and every one of them was going to capture every part of that story that they could and be a part of it as they could go and be present where Jesus was. But they were hungry for the Messiah, the one who had been promised, and Jesus. Jesus was the one that they believed must be the Messiah. It was coming to be known, and that would be true. They were hungry for God and for everything that they may receive from the hand of the Messiah. Are you not also hungry for those things? Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for the things that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wants to provide for your life? Oftentimes it's going to be truth. Oftentimes it's going to be good teaching. Oftentimes it's going to be encouragement. Sometimes it'll be comfort as he has sent and given us his Holy Spirit as one who will come alongside of us and comfort and teach and help and everything that the Spirit does and remind us of the glory of God. Friends, today, we need like these to be hungry for that which Jesus will provide. Now, I think we know that we don't have to go out on the countryside somewhere and follow a vagabond who is a wandering person in order to find what we need. Because we have found the living God through faith, and he has by grace brought life to us. And we have found the one, and therefore we are able anywhere that we are to worship, but also we've been called together as the body in Christ in order that we might declare his glorious works and walk together and grow together, encouraging one another. That's who we have. He is here. He has come. And the evidence of that written in these stories that we're able to read about, and then that which ultimately has been told throughout the stories of the crucifixion and the resurrection, and then the establishment of the early church. Those things are those things that we have. And we have that. But now by faith we walk and trust in those things which we know. Well, I just want to ask this final question. What are you hungry for today? I know that in the life of a church, there will be times when we are hungry for the things that help us to walk in fellowship with the living God and with one another. I know that in the life of our church today, we would have to recognize that people are hungry for deeper relationship with one another. In certain places and among certain groups, I think we see that growing. But in some others, we are very weak and struggling. But we're hungry for those relationships. We're hungry for the encouragement that comes from fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're hungry for a connection with people that will help us to bring glory to Christ. Hopefully when we come to this place, it's never going to be about us again. But it's going to be about the fact that we need to be knowing and seeing and watching the glory of Christ and the work of Christ among the body of Christ. And we want to be able to hear the stories and the testimonies of one and then another and then another as Christ makes the difference. And even as we come to this place where we say, all that I have is more than enough. Who have you told about how Christ has made it more than enough in your life recently? And I want to encourage you to start by telling the people around you here. Some of you might have told the story a few times. You might think it's getting boring for people to hear what Christ has done in your life. But if you've stopped telling the story, perhaps you've forgotten a little bit of the wonder that goes along with telling the story of what Jesus has done. Recently, we elected some new shepherds to serve and to work with you. Over this past year, there were several opportunities. Some took place in articles that were written for your newsletter, where shepherds would tell stories of how God had done things in their life. Some of how they had come to place their faith in Jesus. And so these who are leaders in our church have done that. And those who we've recently elected to serve, we're going to be asking them to do the same. Whether it's to stand in front of you and tell the story of how they came to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and the difference of the wonderful things that he has done along the way. Those are all things that we want to be telling. And let me say this, though. We don't ask them to do it just because we think they need the practice. We all need the practice. But we do it because we hope it will be an example for others among us to be telling the story of what Jesus has done in their lives. And so, what are you hungry for today? Let me encourage you. Wherever you are, I want to encourage you to come to the Savior. For indeed it is in Jesus that you will find the satisfying resource, the satisfying source for everything that you need. Whether you are struggling with the material things of life and you're really not sure how even the basics will be provided that will give you care, whether it is having to do with a physical issue, a matter of healing, or perhaps you just need to know that you are loved, or perhaps you're struggling to truly grasp the deep truths of God's word. And you need to walk with others for teaching so that you may grow spiritually and to grow up into Christ. Come to the Savior for salvation. Come to the Savior for your daily strength. Come to the Savior for encouragement. Come to the Savior for comfort. And come to the Savior for that truth. Come to the Savior for enough. For enough. In fact, come to the Savior for more than enough. Come to Jesus for more than enough. My friends, today, I honestly don't know where you are in every case, exactly where you are in your spiritual walk. Many of you have shared stories with me, and I love to hear those stories of how God is working in your life. But I don't know about everyone in the room. But have you discovered that Jesus is more than enough? Have you discovered that all you have is more than enough? And when I say all you have, sometimes it deals with the material things of life. Sometimes, though, it really just needs to deal with the wonderful truths and the wonderful awareness of the presence of God in your life. For if you have the presence of God, perhaps you've discovered you don't need anything else. It's good to pay the bills, and I'm not saying that's not important. But if you've discovered the presence of God in your life and you're walking with Him and walking by faith, you will have enough, and you will know that He is enough. Where are you today? Are there things that you need to do in order to just simply say, you know, I've been struggling. I've even been angry. And oh, I've been anxious. Can you come to a fresh place today where you can say, but all I have is more than enough. It's more than enough. Let's pray. Lord, today we come to You, and by faith we recognize that we are able to know You. We are able to walk with You. We are able to be transformed and made new through the presence of Your Spirit as we put our trust and our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, You are so good to us. And we come and we give praise and thanksgiving to You because of Your goodness. And Father, thank You for the story of this woman who was poor, and all she had in her hand to give, all she had in her possession to give, was two small coins. But she walked to the place of giving, and she smiled and said, Lord, I trust You. I will not put my trust in these two small coins. I will not put my trust in the stories of people around me. I will not put my trust in my family, but I put my trust in You, O God. I thank You for the people around me. I thank You for my family. But my trust is in You, O God. And Lord, today we may be in a place where we know that we've really never fully trusted in You. We've not come to that moment where we've understood, or maybe we do understand, that it is Your sacrifice, Jesus, that paid the price, that our sins might be forgiven, and that we might have the gift of eternal life through that which You gave for us, and that we will know by the presence of God the ongoing demonstration of the love of God and the mercy and grace that He's poured out so freely upon our lives. Lord God, today, may we not only say, but if we need a moment of discovery, may we come to that place where we are able to say, all I have is more than enough. You might say you need to discover it. Oh God, for that person, help them to realize that up until now, there's never been a time they didn't have enough. In fact, most likely, more than enough. And Father, help us to live in the reality of that truth. And most importantly, help us to live in the reality of the living grace of Christ, who gives us strength and who gives us power to live each day for your glory, O God. Have your way here today and help us to say, all I have is more than enough. We give praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.